I really believe with all of my heart that surrender is the key to missions. I really do. And that song goes right along with that. Surrender is the key to missions. Surrendered people pray. Surrendered people give. Surrendered people witness. Surrendered people are willing to go. Amen. And so think about that for just a moment. It is a surrendered person that is a submissive person. It is a surrendered Christian that is a Christian that is serving and is willing to sacrifice. It's a surrendered Christian that is being used of the Lord. Think about this. It's absolutely impossible to steer a parked car. And so we need to make certain that the wheels of our life are running smoothly so that the Lord can steer us where He wants us to go. Here I am, Lord, send me. And so we want to discuss this topic tonight of surrender. And so with that in mind, look with me at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 tonight. Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at the example of the Apostle Paul, who was saved and surrendered all at the same time. Really, that's the way it ought to be for all of us, for each and every one of us. But notice with me, Acts chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. For just a few minutes this evening, let's look at this truth from this text found in verse number 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we'll look at this truth. I surrender all. I surrender all. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you again for the privilege of being in your house tonight. We believe with all of our heart through faith and according to the power of your word and the authority of your word that you are pleased. You are pleased with what is taking place here at Calvary Baptist Church as we discuss the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ going around the world. We thank you for every missionary that you have brought to this conference, this missions revival. And Father, we just pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts, speak to my heart. Father, use the power of your word and the power of your spirit to do something spiritual in our midst. We thank you for what we have heard already. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the fellowship. And again, we thank you for the reason that brings us together for these days of meetings. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in college and I was driving on one of our breaks. I don't know if it was winter break or summer break, but I was with two of my friends and I'm from New Hampshire. And so we were on Interstate 93 in New Hampshire about 10:30 at night. And I was driving and I was driving a car that was a light blue. Now, this is important to the story, okay? It was a light blue diesel Ford Escort. How many of you remember that vehicle? Okay. No one. All right. Excellent. And so anyway, that's key to the story. And we were riding along on the interstate and all of a sudden we noticed that there was a state trooper immediately behind us. I mean, right on our bumper. And this state trooper put on his high beams and then did absolutely nothing, just followed us for miles. I mean, we were nervous. I didn't think that I had been speeding, and so we're just going along, and my friends just kept turning around and look, and I kept looking in the mirror, and he's just right on our bumper, high beams. All of a sudden, he put on his blue lights, and I pulled over immediately, and as soon as I pulled over, five other state troopers came out of nowhere and surrounded that little tiny light blue Ford Escort. They all put on their spotlights and did nothing. We just waited there. It seemed like an eternity. It was probably only a couple minutes. All of a sudden, I heard behind me a door open and someone walking up next to my car. And so I immediately rolled down the window. If you don't know what that means to roll down your window, ask your parents. But I rolled down my window and I went for my license and registration. I had been through this somewhat before in the past. And the state trooper came up to my window. He was just about 3 feet away. He said, license and registration, and then he jumped backwards. About the time that he jumped backwards, the back door on the passenger side opened up, and there was a state trooper with his gun drawn, and he said something just like you might hear on TV. Put your hands up in the air and don't do anything stupid or foolish. Boom. all over hands. Boom. Almost right through the roof of that little tiny car. Well, they started to interview us and ask us all kinds of questions. Now, here's a long story short, okay? Here's a long story short. There was a bank robbery in Maine. Now, we're in New Hampshire, but right next door in the state of Maine, there was a bank robbery, and three individuals robbed a bank, and their getaway car was a light blue Ford Escort diesel, all right? And so they asked us all sorts of questions, and when it was all said and done, they realized that we really were not smart enough to even rob a vending machine, let alone a bank. And they had a good laugh, and they called all the state troopers ahead and said, hey, listen, whatever you do, don't waste your time stopping these college kids. But I tell that story to communicate this truth. You know, at that moment when the gun was drawn, we had two choices. We could have been stubborn, or we could have surrendered, right? We could have struggled, or we could have surrendered. It is a wise believer that learns early in life to surrender to the Lord, our God. Not just out of fear, but out of responsibility, reward, but most importantly, out of love for what God has done for us. In this text, we see the moment that the Apostle Paul said, I surrender all. Can you say that this evening? Are you truly surrendered? This evening, we want to discuss surrender. And the first thing we want to look at is just an explanation of surrender. It really is not complicated. I'll give you a long definition and then a short definition. The long definition of surrender is the moment, now think about this, it's the moment that we communicate to the Lord our commitment, listen to this, our commitment to continual consecration. I'll say that again. Surrender is that moment in our moment in life when we communicate to the Lord our commitment to continual consecration. That is the long definition of surrender. The short definition of surrender is that moment that we come to the Lord and we simply say this, I'm yours. I'm yours. It was General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, that got to a point in his life where he just simply said, Lord, you can have all that there is in this man, William Booth. When D.L. Moody was just starting in the ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement. Many of you have heard this before. The world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to him. Moody that night said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. I'll be that man. General William Booth was surrendered. D.L. Moody was surrendered. The question tonight is this, are you surrendered? Are you truly surrendered? Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I was 17 when I went forward in a church service, and I didn't know this. I came to one side of the sanctuary, and I knelt, and I gave my life to the Lord. My best friend at the time, he was on the other side of the sanctuary. He was kneeling. He was giving his life to the Lord. I remember very vividly. I was in a service in Texas, a conference in Texas, where after the service, after the sermon was preached and the invitation was given, they brought out the biggest offering plate I had ever seen, and they laid it on the floor, and they said, if any young people want to come and surrender their life, come forward. And there was a line of three or four individuals, and they stood in that offering plate. They were offering their lives to the Lord as a living sacrifice. But the question tonight is this: are you surrendered? Are you surrendered? You know, when we observe the Apostle Paul's life, we see that we need to surrender regardless of two things. Regardless of, first of all, our past, and secondly, regardless of our talents and abilities or lack thereof, if you will. First of all, we need to surrender regardless of our past. Sometimes a Christian will use their past as an excuse for not surrendering to the Lord. No one can stand next to the Apostle Paul and have an excuse for not surrendering to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He went from persecutor to preacher. And so we must surrender regardless of our past. Secondly, we need to surrender regardless of our talents and abilities or lack thereof. The Apostle Paul not only takes away and removes the excuse of using our past as a reason for not surrender, but he also takes away our lack of talents and abilities, or so in our mind we think. Sometimes we look at the great Apostle Paul, and he certainly was one of the greatest soul winners, one of the greatest missionaries, one of the greatest pastors, one of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest church planters that has ever lived. But we look at him and we say, well, I could never be like him. But I want to draw your attention to something. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, he said these words: when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech. Sometimes we think, well, I could never preach like the Apostle Paul. He said, listen, I'm not a very good preacher. Sometimes we look at the Apostle Paul and we say, well, you know what? He was so intelligent. I could never be like the Apostle Paul. And in Philippians chapter 3, he said, listen, all of the degrees behind my name, I count them as waste. I count them, as something to just be put away so that I might win Christ. Sometimes we look at the great Apostle Paul and we say, well, you know, the secret to his success is he got to a point in his life where he just never sinned. And in Romans chapter 7, he said, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Sometimes we look at the Apostle Paul and we say, well, he just had a problem-free life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, Lord, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. Listen, the Apostle Paul removes all excuse for surrendering our life to the Lord. We have no excuse. I remember hearing a story about a missionary in India who led an elderly blind woman to the Lord. And this elderly woman wanted to do something for God. And so she asked this missionary for a Bible. She could not read it, but she asked the missionary for a Bible. She asked the missionary to open and mark in the Bible John 3:16 and to circle John 3:16. And so she would take that Bible and she would go to the public school and sit on the step right before school let out. And as school let out, all of the little boys and girls would come out of that school and she would stop them and she would say to them, do you know how to read? And most of them said yes. And she would say, can you see these words that are circled? They would say yes. She would say, would you read that to me? Because I am blind. I can't see. Would you read that to me? They would read it to her. And then she would say this: do you know what that means? No. Can I explain to you what that means? Yes. Many of them said yes. She led dozens of boys and girls to the Lord. And they said that at the time of her death, many of those young men were in the ministry because of the relationship of accepting Christ as Savior as a result of that elderly blind woman that just wanted to do something for the Lord. Listen, what is surrender? It's just that moment in life that we say, hey, regardless of my past, regardless of my talents and abilities or lack thereof. I just want to be a willing vessel for the Lord. Are you surrendered this evening? Every Christian needs an Acts 9:6 moment in their life. The moment that they say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? We see quickly an explanation of surrender, but then notice with me very quickly as well the evidence of surrender. Look at our text tonight, would you? Acts chapter 9 and verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I want to give you just quickly three evidences of surrender. First of all, the first evidence of surrender is submission. Submission. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in verse number 6, the very first word out of his mouth, Lord, Master. I can see the Apostle Paul falling down on his face, and there was immediate surrender. One of the evidences, there was immediate submission. One of the evidences of surrender is submission. Submission. There is submission. Secondly, there is service. What did the Apostle Paul say in verse number 6? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Not what will thou have the pastor to do, or the deacons to do, or the Sunday school teachers to do, or the missionaries to do. What will thou have me to do? When I was a pastor, I used to say this on occasion to my church family, that there are two types of people that come into a church. One is, now if you're sitting like this, I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm not even looking at the sanctuary. I'm just looking up. But there's this kind of person. And then there's this kind of person. This kind of person comes into a church and they have this attitude. What can this church do for me? What can this church do for me? What can this church do to benefit me? And then you've got this kind of person that comes into a church and says, hey, what can I do for the church? One of the evidences of surrender is service. Because why? We are just servants of the Lord who has saved our wretched soul. So some of the evidences of surrender, there is submission, Lord. There is service. What will thou have me to do? And then number three, there is sacrifice. Look at verse number 6 again. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. When the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God answered that question. Look with me at our same chapter, chapter 9, and look at verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. My friend, tonight, one of the evidences of true, sincere, pure surrender is a willingness to give up something. A willingness to sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul was faithful unto death for the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, let me ask you a question tonight. Are you surrendered? I believe the key to missions is surrender. Why? Because surrender leads to submission. Surrender leads to service, and surrender leads to sacrifice. Think about it for just a moment. Entertain these questions with me for just a moment in regards to missions. Is a believer really surrendered to take the gospel across the sea when he's not even willing to take the gospel across the street? Is a believer truly surrendered? Is a believer really surrendered to submit to God's call when that Christian can't even submit to pray over their missions program? Are they really surrendered? Is a believer really surrendered to give their lives to missions when a believer cannot even give his finances to missions? Is a believer really, truly surrendered? Let me go a step further. Is a Christian truly surrendered to be faithful to the Great Commission if they cannot even be faithful to a missions conference? Are we truly surrendered? We see the evidence of surrender. There is submission. There's service. There's sacrifice. And then lastly, we'll end with this, the expectation for surrender. It's already been touched on tonight in the previous sermon. But why should we surrender? Let me give you two quick reasons. We should surrender, number one, because of God's glory, and number two, because of our gratitude. Why do we surrender? Why would the Apostle Paul say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because of God's glory and because of our gratitude, because what God has done for us. First of all, for God's glory, according to the word of God, creation has an obligation to the Creator. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. Not only does creation have an obligation to the Creator, but the redeemed have an obligation to the Redeemer. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, for we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We have an obligation to our Redeemer. Birds were created to fly, fish were created to swim, and a human being was created to bring honor and glory to God, to reflect and reveal the moral attributes of God. In a person, we are to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world. We said it on Sunday morning. Why? So that others may see our good works and glorify as well our Father in heaven. That's why we exist. We have an obligation to our Creator. We have an obligation to our Redeemer to just say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Why should we surrender? Number one, God's glory, but then secondly, our gratitude. Our gratitude. So many verses that we could look at. But I think of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58, we're under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And church family tonight, what's the next verse? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We surrender our life to the Lord, to a life of service and sacrifice and submission. Why? Because of all that God has done for us, for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. To do anything less, we'll end with this, to do anything less is to be an ungrateful wretch. I heard a story one time about a soldier who risked his life to save another soldier. A soldier was caught between no man's land. He was injured, and another soldier left the foxhole and he ran out into no man's land, and he took that injured soldier and threw him over his shoulder and ran back to the foxhole. And as they were diving into the foxhole, the man that risked his life was hit by a bullet and he was immediately killed. The man that was saved made it home to the United States, and the father and the mother of the son who gave his life for that soldier heard that the soldier that was saved was in their very town, and they wanted to meet the man that their son gave his life for, and so they invited him over for dinner so they could meet him. As the story goes, that soldier showed up late for dinner. He showed up with his uniform all disheveled. His tie was all crooked and his uniform was all wrinkled. The smell of alcohol was on his breath. He was drunk. He was inebriated. And he sat down at the table. He took a few bites of food, never said one word. And right in the middle of eating, he just stood up and walked out the door. As the husband and the wife, the mother, and the father stood at the door watching this soldier stagger down the street, tears streaming down the mother's face. She said this to her husband, to think our son gave his life for that. My friend, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want God the Father to look at me and say, what an ungrateful wretch to think my son gave his life for that. Listen, to do anything other than surrender is to be ungrateful. I ask again tonight the question, Are we truly surrendered? I keep in my Bible an envelope. And this envelope is to remind me of a question that I was faced with at one time in my life as I was listening to a preacher and I was struggling with surrender and consecration and sanctification and all of that in my own life. And I'm still working on that and God's still working on me. Amen. But listen, I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, listen, let's just pretend that I have an envelope that's sealed up. And I talked to the Lord today about you. And the Lord told me what He wants for you from this day forward for the rest of your life. And I wrote on a piece of paper what God wants you to do from this day forward for the rest of your life. Can you say that you are surrendered? He said, this is what He said. He said, if you can say with an honest and sincere heart, God, I trust you, and I'm willing to do whatever is written on that envelope before I even open it, then you can say you're truly surrendered. How about you tonight? Are you truly surrendered? I believe the key to missions is surrendered believers. The key to missions is surrendered children of God, surrendered Christians. Are you surrendered tonight? Have you come to a place in your life where you have said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can you say, I surrender all? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. So many times we look at events in our life and we look back and we think, you know, I did that once. I went forward once. I gave my life to the Lord once. It was a Christian camp. It was a revival meeting. It was a church service. It was a Christian school chapel. I gave my life to the Lord. I did that. No, my friend, it's not have you done that. It's are you doing that? Are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? Are we truly surrendered to do whatever the Lord would have us to do? I believe with all my heart it's the key to missions. Father, bless the remainder of our time together. Work in our lives, work in our midst. Father, help each and every one of us, myself included, to look inwardly, to take spiritual inventory, to see where we stand with the authority of your holy word. And Father, if decisions need to be made, I pray that they would be made tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Preacher.